And really the big picture is that we're all dealing with uncertainty. And uncertainty is a fact of life. Of course, at various stages and chapters in our lives, we're often dealing with uncertainty. But here we all are dealing with it at the same time.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio. And we don't want you to worry about taking too many notes, so you can join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club, and we'll send you the transcripts and show notes from every episode. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And in this episode, I am so excited. I've got a longtime friend with me, and we are going to talk about how to talk about this. I mean, gosh, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, I'm feeling traumatized and on so many levels that I could talk to you about. Just reading the news is traumatic and all of that. And plus, I wanted to talk to her about intuition, using our creativity and our intuition. So let me introduce her, because she is just awesome. We've had her on the show before, and always a popular guest. And her name is Bev Martin. And she is a natural and trained intuitive, a certified professional coach, a member of the ICF International Coaches, a master practitioner of NLP and NLP in health, and a certified facilitator of clean language and symbolic modeling, as well as a certified hypnotherapist. And I could go on and on about all of the other things she's just a magician in. But I want to have plenty of time with her, because I think the topic is really important, that as we're going through the phases of reopening and starting up again, I suppose that's the word, I just want to talk to her. How do we deal with it? And she's really good at those kinds of questions. So welcome, Bev. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, Sharon. It's lovely to see you again and be on the show with you again.
Yes, I can't wait till we can have tea together, dear. Oh, but on the Zoom, it's similar to the same thing. Not quite the same, but looking forward to that time. Now, you heard my introduction there, and just a couple of your thoughts on how we deal with this. I mean, can you just give us some of the things that you've noticed with your clients and things like that?
Sure. And, you know, with my own self, you know, I had a few days where I realized, I thought, gosh, I am using my client sessions to cheer my own self up. So true confession, I noticed that the more that I did my work, the better I felt. It's like, well, there you go. There's a nice bonus. And so in a way, perhaps wherever something could feel like so-called normal, I found it sort of reassuring. And really the big picture is that we're all dealing with uncertainty. And uncertainty is a fact of life. Of course, at various stages and chapters in our lives, we're often dealing with uncertainty, but here we all are dealing with it at the same time.
And it's all on the news. I mean, it's not
everywhere.
Just my own personal uncertainty or my family's uncertainty.
Right?
I can't go on the internet or turn on a television without being bombarded with this uncertainty.
It's this global sense of, oh my gosh. So we're all in the middle of uncertainty, as well as, let's be frank, fear. And, you know, if you do look at the statistics and everything, if you're not afraid, you haven't read it all the way to the end, you know. So fear is definitely a response. My encouragement would be to myself and others is, you know, recognize the fear. Don't live there. The fear is just enough for us to know that we are not separate. And so wherever any of us are in this collective, as we are, even when we're separate, so-called separate, we're part of a collective. So whenever we are all at some level experiencing fear, we're all at some level experiencing it. But we want to recognize, like, okay, that's that. That may be a fact. It may help me to be more careful or mindful of what's going on in the world. Fear can often be useful if it's a prompt, but I like to think of it as important place to visit, don't want to live there. You know, so it's like we can recognize, what does fear, or even just being aware of it, prompt me to do? Does it help me to wash those hands even more carefully, wear my mask out in public, you know? So we could use that as a cautionary prompt, but certainly we can't hang out there. So, you know, just recognizing, like, how does fear affect us? How does, we're all traumatized. You know, it's a fact that there is trauma in the world, and it's always been there, but now we're all experiencing it at the same time. So my own remedy, and one I recommend for my clients as well, is always just to come back home to your own self. So even as we're wrestling with, like, what is true out in the world? It's like, whew, take a breath. What is true for me in this moment? And I have noticed that the things that I've always been grateful for, I'm even more grateful for. You know, sitting out on my back deck surrounded by birds, it has taken on a different level of meaning for me. You know, I always appreciate it, but I really appreciate it now. So it's like taking the things that matter to us and that we value, and bringing it home to self, so that we're a little or a lot less buffeted about by what's going on in the outside, and just like come back home, even if it's as simple as just remembering to breathe, to find what you're grateful for, to reach out to people. You know, we are not separate, and so recognizing that we can still enjoy the benefits of connection via Zoom or via the phone or via a good old-fashioned card. So my recommendation is that, you know, the more that we just resonate with who we are, which from a spiritual perspective is our only job. Our only job is to be ourselves. And even that doesn't change when the world ends. And you'll hear my sort of flippant tone. One of the ways I've chosen to handle this is to use a sort of a jokey tone. It's like, well, since the world is ending, I'm going to cook. You know, I'm using a sort of frame, and I'm hoping it's clear to others that I'm kind of kidding. You can't really joke about the extent of what is happening to us, but I'm choosing to use a sort of a light, jokey tone with myself, because do I want to confront the reality of it in every moment? I choose not to.
Yeah. Well, I think for me, I choose not to too. And sometimes people say, oh, my friends, a couple of them are like, oh, you're not taking it seriously. I said, I am. I just don't have the energy or the want or desire to take it. I'm very well aware of it. I am the one that it was wearing the gloves and the mat and being hyper vigilant about that for myself as my own choice. What's interesting to me, as you said, is you're choosing to cook. And that was one way, when I saw on Facebook, you were commenting about a mutual friend is actually also a really well-known chef. I did not know that about this person. And it's teaching some online cooking classes. And I'm like, what a great idea. And you've been on social media a lot, just talking about creativity and using our intuition in these times of uncertainty as well. And I was like, I got to talk to Bev about this. Now, I appreciate what you were saying about, you know, go to the fear, but don't live there. And that's so important. And it's important for us to remind others in our world, listen to them deeply and caringly and hold them and be aware that, I even use the word, we're all in grief and shock right now.
It's true.
And this idea of using the lessons we've learned from grief recovery to help our friends and family. So not just me being aware and not being stuck there, but doing some deep connecting and some deep listening to friends and family. And I want to talk to you about the intuition, creativity, as well as then deep listening. So I know that's a huge question, but you just jump in, Bev, because you'll come up with the answer.
I love it. Well, intuition, creativity, and deep listening. I'm writing down those words because that's my jam. I mean, those are the things that, you know, make my heart sing. Yeah.
That's why I asked you on the show.
And they're all connected. And, you know, so we'll start with deep listening. And so deep listening really is listening to each other with that filter of kindness, with a lot more tolerance for, you know, let everyone just be human. You know, let's take off our desire for perfection. And I think that's also one way, is like giving ourselves more allowance for when we're in a difficult, challenging time, as we are in, you know, that's when we might have a meltdown. We might be a little, so it's not the time to then also expect perfection of ourselves. So I've been joking about my basement, which looks like, it's just like one box short of a hoarder's episode. It's terrible. And I've sort of joked like, you know, every time there's a pandemic, I will consider cleaning up my basement. Have I done it yet? No, but I'm considering it. And that's what I mean by perfection, is like, understand that, you know, for some people, it's kind of like, you know, what can I achieve in this so-called extra time? Well, the number of hours in the day are still the same. And I think, you know, it's more about fulfillment, like what makes my heart sing? Who am I even when? Da-da-da, right? So our intuition's job is always to help us to be more of who we are, because that's our one assignment, is to be true to ourselves, to express who we are, to know who that is. And so I have loved actually looking on social media and seeing the range of creativity, how people are rallying around suddenly homeschooling and finding unique and marvelous ways to do it. I also trust they're finding ways to, you know, lock themselves in the bathroom and catch their breath, because it's a lot. We're asking a lot of ourselves, which is why I'm saying, please take perfectionism and leave it out the door. Just don't bother. You know, we're living in different times, so different guidelines might apply. And perfectionism never did help us become our true selves. Perfectionism is about comparing ourselves with others and rising up to some other kind of ideal. You know, Brené Brown's work on this, I think, is marvelous. And so anything that says, I must, I should, I ought, at the moment, and I'm going to say for the rest of time, my response to that is, how eloquent, you know, just like, anything that feels like an imposed outcome, rather take this time to consider, my only job is to be myself, how might I, each of us, rally and bring the best of who we are, no matter what?
Yeah, I love that. I love that. I'm also hearing the little person on my shoulder going, but Bev, you don't understand. I've got two kids here at home who have to be homeschooled. I'm now working from home and I don't have a home office. I mean, I'm hearing this whole long, long list of the I shoulds and I ought. So let's dive a little deeper into this idea of what that really means when, I'll say, there are, you know, life intrudes. How do we show up? I like to say giving myself grace is what I'm always reminding myself about, giving myself grace during these times. Because one thing I've noticed, I suppose it's just mental energy, but I'm more tired now than previously. I know that sounds weird, but I am still doing a lot. Luckily, the majority of what I do is, you know, was sort of in this mode anyway. But I just find myself, I wonder if it's just an energy drain or whatever, but I'm finding myself more tired now.
Well, we're not separate. And so even if we are not watching the news all day and, you know, energetically, our heart, gut, everything is saying, you know, we're part of this big human family. And as a family, we're having a very difficult time. And so, you know, lower your standards, especially I think of, you know, I know several people who are trying to homeschool and, you know, do a job from home and a new where lower your standards and resonate with your own values, you know, so that in a way you're asking yourself at the end of this day, if I do this day the way that it meets my own criteria, what's that? And maybe it is just I put on real pants and I made the bed. You know, it's like, what matters to me to have done or to participate in? Maybe it is a day where we call all our friends and just let them know, each person, you know how my life is improved because you're in it. Thank you for being you. It's the kinds of things we do. You know, that I had a wonderful grandmother who saved things for best. You know, this is the good tea service and we save it for best. And I think under this kind of circumstance, we're deciding what is best. How about today? You know, if we're waiting to have a meaningful conversation until a special occasion, how about now? I think that that there may be one of the plus sides might be that sense of urgency. It's like we're all getting the memo. Life is not what we planned in our 5-year plan. It is really much more in the moment. And if I'm in the moment, what really matters to me in this moment? So that's what I mean by bringing ourselves forward. You know, I have been so touched by all the you know, kindnesses that people are extending to each other. And if I could only watch the news that said, show me about those, I would.
Yes, me too.
And of course, cat and dog videos. I mean, we, you know, those, we've it's totally so funny. Resonated with nature, with just life.
Yeah, it's so funny. You know, I was just, I want to say like last fall, I was lamenting to another friend about what's happened to the real news. I'm really tired of seeing cats and dog videos on the local news. Now I'm almost like, what happened to the cat and dog videos on local news?
Could we just have a channel of cat and dog? I just about do on my feed, and I love it. I think we do need nature. I was on a call the other day, on a conference call, where they said at the end of the call, there's going to be a treasure hunt. And they had, go grab your favorite coffee mug and bring it, which was really fun. And then the last one was, bring something that's alive. And so some people drag their husbands, or you know, but most of us were like, here's my cat, here's my dog. And so that connection to nature is so, it's ever as important as always it was, but I think we're getting clearer on it.
For the first time in a long time, I'm in a location where I can have a garden. And I used to garden and then was in a location where that wasn't feasible. But back into a location now where I can have a garden. And this was even before pandemic word. I was already planning my garden, but now it's just, I'm like really into it. It's so wonderful that when I just forget everything when I'm out there in my garden.
And yeah. So good. And then, you know, from an intuition perspective, I joked with one of my clients who was planning a trip to Scotland. So the last time I saw her, we said, you know, have a wonderful time in Scotland. And while I was thinking about her not being able to go on her trip, I thought, yeah, I wonder if she thinks, well, what kind of intuitive are you? How come you didn't know I wasn't going? And I thought, well, you know, we didn't ask the question because it just never entered our mind to say, you know, is there any reason one wouldn't go? And frankly, if my intuition had said, well, there's going to be a worldwide pandemic, I would have thought, boy, I'm losing my mind. That, you know, I would not ever have believed it. And the truth is, I don't get that kind of intuitive information about big global events. I really do just get, you know, what's happening with myself and with each person, like that in that inner world. But since we might have more time with our own inner world, it is a marvelous time to build your relationship with your intuition. You know, some people might go, relationship, intuition. Oh yeah, I remember her, you know, but it's an ideal time to connect really with yourself. What do I value? What matters to me? Not to be macabre, but a useful consideration could be, you know, if I were no longer here, what would the world miss if I were not here? Because that can give us a clue about what it is that we bring. I was on a conference.
I think legacy is the word we're looking for.
Yes.
What I have thought in the opposite or the duality of macabre is what... And I have a couple of books that have sat here on my desktop have been edited once, and I need to go in and redo the editor's notes and things like that. And they've been sitting there for, you know, a very long time. I'll need to change the copyright date is how long they've been sitting there. But anyway, guys, I've been sitting there looking at them like, Gosh, I'd really want that to be part of my legacy. I'm going to have, you know, I've been delving back into one of them, and the other one's just, I have to do one at a time. I can't multitask like that. But legacy, I think, is the word that I've been.
Yes. Focusing. It's like, you know, what is the contribution that you make, that you alone make, the way that you work with people in your interviews, the way you ask questions, the way that you write? You know, no one else can do Sharon Saylor the way Sharon Saylor does it. So I think that's the point, is really to consider, you know, what is my legacy, which is different from, you know, what's my to-do list.
You know? No, yeah, totally. Otherwise, they'd be done.
Right, exactly. You know, and so in some way, you've been giving yourself permission to address those things. I have had more than one client sort of say to me, sort of in a guilty secret way, lowering their voices in case somebody could hear, but saying like, I will be really sad when this pandemic ends. And the reason that they don't mean that because people are suffering, what they mean is that they have found a new rhythm. Mm-hmm. They found a new rhythm to their days. They found a new purpose. And so I remind them in speaking in my normal voice, you know that you're in charge of how your day goes, right? we don't need to wait till the governors change the rules. You can still keep this flow even when everything else opens up. You need no longer join the rat race. You can. How else could we have had an experience of what is my time like when the world closes down for a while? I'm out of my routine and my ruts. The things that distracted me from my true self are no longer there. Huh. You know, so I don't think we should feel guilty about finding opportunity in it.
Oh, you know, it's funny. I had a couple of friends comment to me on, luckily they're still employed, yet they were commenting on, gosh, I wasn't aware of how much money I was frivolously spending. You know, they were commenting to me, I didn't realize I ate out as much as I did. I didn't realize this. I didn't realize that. And they're like, wow, you know, and they're reordering their life in many areas, as well as even the financial one. And for them, they're blessed that it's not a dire strait, a dire need to reorder it. But even from that position of being made aware of it.
Absolutely. And, you know, really, teachers and grocery store workers and people who really have deserved our great praise and attention all along. Now, can we be clear? These people really, you know, anyone who's homeschooling is suddenly really appreciating that teacher, I'm thinking, you know, and going to the grocery store is no longer just a mindless thing. We really appreciate that person standing there who's had to honestly weigh up risk in order to even be there. So I'm hoping, you know, our gratitude will certainly continue to grow, and that can only be a good thing.
No, absolutely. And on that note, take a moment to sort of go through your gratitude list as we take this quick commercial break. We'll be back in just a minute.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and tonight we're here with Bev Martin, and she's a certified professional coach as well as a master practitioner of NLP and NLP in health, a certified clean language and symbolic modeling, as well as a certified hypnotherapist, and I could just go on and on, but I just want to jump back in because I just always love my chats, and as you noticed, Bev and I just go down multiple rabbit holes all at once. And that's how this the conversation's going to go. So, because that's what I love. I just love this idea of thinking about things and being able to hash them out. One thing I want to talk about in this section of our conversation, Bev, is clean language and symbolic modeling. I've always found I love clean language and symbolic modeling. Bev's the one that introduced it to me and did take some certification courses in it, but certainly not the level that Bev's at, for sure. But what I'm fascinated about is how people construct their world. And if we do some deep listening of others, not just our own self, so we're moving from deep listening of our own intuition out into listening to others, we can begin to understand sort of their world from that. So let's talk a little bit about first, what is clean language and symbolic modeling? And then we'll get into how people construct metaphors.
So really the clean part refers to having the listener be as clean as they can be of their own assumptions, which is a lot harder to do than to say, because
absolutely,
you know, even what I've loved about studying clean language and using it is just how aware it makes us of our assumptions, because an assumption is a thing you don't know you're making. The main element of doing our best to remove our own assumptions, if we keep trying to spot our assumptions and wrestle them to the ground, it can be crazy making. It can be more helpful just to put on a deep curiosity in that place of like, I know nothing and I'm curious. So that the clean questions then help us then with that frame to, as we're listening to someone, it's almost like we're saying, what is it like to be you? And I know nothing. And so we start from that really clean place. We then ask different questions than when we think we know. And it can be so remarkable. And so one example might be a parent say with a child, when a child makes a comment, perhaps they say, oh, you know, this virtual class with my teacher was so fun. Hopefully they can say a thing like that. That to be clean, we wouldn't make assumptions. We would ask something like, oh, you know, and when it was so fun, what was fun? And so part of clean is always asking a curious question about whatever it is the person put on the table. And so in many ways, so if the child said, you know, my class was fun, we could pick that word fun. Or we're asking a question about whatever they offered, which is a deeply respectful way to listen. And it's the opposite of, oh, you just reminded me something that in my own model of the world, let me go over here, which is how, you know, typical conversations work, where we feel like we're being pulled all over the map. So with clean, our intention is to be curious and to just stay with whatever the person put on the table. And what happens then is that we become aware that there's a deeper level of listening. And we think differently when we know we're being truly heard. And it's marvelous. And so I recommend it, like listen to yourself at a deeper level and invite the kinds of conversation where you can be heard at a deeper level. Not even so much for the listener, but for the speaker themselves. Because when we listen at that deep level, as the speaker, we say things we didn't know we knew. We tap into a deeper level of understanding. And when each of us engage with someone in that way, you do it in your interviews. You bring something up into conscious awareness that perhaps both people didn't even know was there. That to me is the epitome of creativity. Something new was created or seen from a different perspective. So it's curiosity and respect, bottom line.
And I know when I've been the recipient of someone with the clean language model and process, you come away feeling deeply heard, and the word that comes to mind is like at peace. It's wow. So not only was I deeply heard, but I heard myself.
Indeed.
I've surprised myself. I've done all sorts of, I've amazed myself. I was like, where'd that come from?
Yes.
Who said that? Yes, although it was me.
You're finding your own treasure. I mean, what could be more delightful?
Yes, absolutely. And what I find fascinating is not only from being the listener's place, but when you receive the clean language, you begin to understand how you construct your world. And to me, that is critically important to begin to understand. I've been surprised at myself, how I construct my world. But I consider myself, and I want to be non-judgmental, and I want to be non-biased, and I want to be open and curious and coming from that place. And it's great. I'm all for that. And I encourage other people to come from those places. However, you have to have the wherewithal to know that they're not all totally extinguished just because you have made that commitment. That doesn't mean that all of those years of previous learning and embedding and belief shaping don't just disappear.
So true. I'm working with a team of healers who have a spa, and they're remarkably wonderful people, and each of them is uniquely themselves. And so I'm teaching them some clean language and NLP skills. And part of it is just recognizing that each person who comes to the table thinks differently, and there's a gift in how they think and perhaps a downside. But when we recognize both the gift and the accommodation that we make for each style, now we have a room full of marvelous, creative, new perspectives, rather than, you know, one person who says the way that I think, therefore, is the right way. You know, if only you could all be more like me, which is an old leadership model that, you know, simply cannot work. And the people in this team are finding the fun about being able to sort of gently appreciate each person's quirks, but recognizing, oh, that person who's such a dreamer, that is creating the vision for our business. And how can we support the dreamer? And then the realist, the person who's got to make the plans that the dreamer came up with, they now know how to ask for accommodation. They now know how to say, are you done dreaming? Do you want me to run with this? Or are we just going to, you know, enjoy dreaming some more? And so the language of how do you think, how can you ask for support for your style, and how can you be flexible with other people's style? It's part of really what I think our world needs. But of course, I would think that because it's my favorite thing. You know, it's how people listen to each other. It's like, that's what we need. But that capacity to listen without judgment and to be clean of assumption, and it frees us up. It's not that sense of like, I'm tolerant. It's more like I'm honestly free. Each person can be free of any preconceived notion, which probably like how a kid is, you know, when you're five, you just don't have as much history of preconceived notions as we probably bring to the table when we're way over five.
Oh, yes. And what I love about five, I have grandkids that are right around that age. And one of the things I love about five is this endless curiosity that even as adults you can find slightly frustrating, like, can we move on? I don't know why the sky is blue. but I like to, I'm glad you bring that up. That idea of this endless curiosity is a really nice place to be. And it can, I like to have my mind expanded as often as possible as part of my thing. It's like, I don't always have to agree, but I like knowing, Oh, that's a point of view I hadn't considered. You know, how fascinating. And put it in that file. I think some people say, I either have to agree or disagree. You've bumped into my values or you haven't bumped into my values. Well, and I have a little folder in my brain that goes, Isn't that interesting? I need to ponder that some more. And there it goes.
Yes. Oh, that's lovely. Put it in the folder. I love that. Yeah. I think that's you've touched on something there. It's like when we know that ultimately each of us is safe in the world. And that's, you know, our work to do is to reconnect with our sense of safety and knowing that something even greater than whatever's happening is holding us safe, you know, however we think about that. But knowing that somebody else's different opinion cannot undermine your life, you know, that feeling that it could, or the notion of, you know, oh, this person thinks that and I need to change their point of view so that I can sleep tonight. We really need to let that go. A helpful image I comfort myself with is like birds and fish. Think about all the different colorful birds. And not one of them is saying, I need everybody to sing the same song as me and to have the same plumage. Like we can, you know, the variety actually makes nature so succeed. So perhaps our real work is to say, you know, what kind of bird or fish am I? You know, what do I love? What supports me being even more of who I am? And not trying to convince anyone who's a different kind of animal that they need to be more like ourselves. And that way it takes the conversation to a different level. Because if we're reliant on someone remembering a thing, you've got more influence if you remember that you can remind them. You know, it puts it more in your own hands. To the extent that it is. But, you know, every day we leave the house, whatever we put on, even in ordinary times, we're communicating with what we put on. You know, we're communicating. If I wear a shirt that says, you know, the Grateful Dead, I'm communicating, maybe that's my band. I don't own a shirt like that, but I might wear one if I had. But, you know, in every moment, whatever we're putting on or the car we drive, like we're communicating who we are, and it's no different now. I like when it's made clear that what it means when I'm wearing a mask is that I'm feeling, I want to be considerate for the people around me and my own self, right? I was in New Seasons a while ago and there was a woman wearing a mask having a huge coughing fit. And I noticed in the moment that I was like, oh, I'm really glad she's got a mask on, you know? So yay, thank you. Thank you, person. And so, you know, I think that, in each moment, like I like the idea that when I put a mask on my face, because they are not very comfortable, as we know, but that like the meaning of it I'm choosing is this means I'm considerate for the people around me. Now, anything symbolic can have any other meaning. There are people who will say this means that you don't think for yourself. It's whatever. But if we each decide what it means to me is this.
Right. Mm. That's a good point. And you mentioned about the coughing fit. It made me think about how jumpy I have gotten in some respects. I was out for a walk in my neighborhood and I've kind of timed to know when at least it's right at dinner hour. There's very few walkers. And so I was out walking and out of an open window in someone's home, I hear a sneeze that is obviously a long distance away. But I hear a sneeze, one sneeze. I'm telling you, the little spidey sense, yeah. The hair on my neck was just like, oh, where'd that come from? I mean, it was incredible how quick that reptilian brain kicked into that fear mode that we started the show with. And all it was one sneeze.
And yet, you know, thank you to your reptilian brain for saying like, you know, there's a new level of threat. You know, I'm more concerned that someone might cough in my face, you know, so we've adjusted ourselves. And if it does make you respond differently or choose wisely in that moment, thank you, fear. You know, I laughed at myself the other day, you know, I can barely drive my car because I don't go anywhere anymore. So I was still like figuring out my car. I was like, oh, right. You know, it's a shift. And then noticing after being so aware in the store of like the 6 feet difference and everything that I was also with my car giving everyone more space.
I noticed that too. Not just for myself, but I'm like, gosh, that person in front of that person could like roll up a whole car length, you know.
Really aware of personal space now.
Yeah, whether it's necessary or not. As you ponder whether you're doing that with your car or not, we have one more quick commercial break and we'll come right back with Bev and find out more about what she's doing out in the world right now. We'll be back in just a minute.
your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the OM Times Experts program. With OM Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, "Sorry, I'm rambling," you say, "Thank you for listening." Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free, non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and tonight we've been here with Bev Martin. She's a natural and trained intuitive, a certified professional coach, a master practitioner of NLP, as well as a certified facilitator in clean language and symbolic modeling, and a certified hypnotherapist. And I could go on and on, but you've heard how brilliant she is and how amazing. And Bev, we have 10 minutes left, and I want to be sure that we have time to everyone can learn more about you and experience you at a better, deeper level than we've been able to experience in just the hour we've had together. But first off, anything that you comes to mind that I haven't asked or haven't covered that you would feeling that need to share?
Oh, you're so good. You know, I love your umbrella about intuition and creativity and deep listening. And each one of those you and I could go to town on for, you know, a long time. And yet I would say, you know, that place of that intersection of who we really are would be the main thing. You know, listening to yourself with your intuition, deep listening to each other at this level, and then creativity, you know, expressing who you are. You know, for me, unfortunately, it's got, and I only say unfortunately because of my body at the moment, but for me, it's been like cooking, you know, it's like new recipes. Oh, look, homemade mayonnaise, right? And so that, and working with my clients, as I mentioned at the beginning, is honestly my saving grace. And I think that's because when we do the thing we came to do, that's the sweet spot. That both is sustaining and nourishing. So I would encourage each person to really resonate with that. And ways that I help with that is working one-on-one in coaching or intuition, where intuition, often a person will create, have a meeting with me or a reading to say, you know, this is what my intuition is leading me to, you know, thoughts, or how might I be more open to what it is my soul wants to tell me. And so those conversations are always delightful. I certainly love that.
Well, I wanted to go into that for just a second, Beth. How do we know that it's our intuition? Sometimes I've told you little jokes about the time some little evil twin pops up on my shoulder and says something like, "See, I told you you could have the chocolate ice cream." And I know that's probably not the best, you know, that's probably not the right person whispering in my ear at that moment. How do we know that it's our intuition?
You touched on something that I would say is the thing. It's loving and kind. Now, only we will know if it's truly loving and kind to have the chocolate ice cream. But to be truly loving and kind, like your intuition is guiding you to be not the best you in terms of productivity or becoming the, you know, achievement in the world, but the most expressive version of your own self. And so it's got that unique, your uniqueness in mind. And so your intuition will be the thing that helps you to know, what do I truly value? What really matters? And it will have that loving kindness about it, and often a great sense of humor. You know, your intuition knows you well and knows what. So when you listen to yourself with that befriending in mind, that is your intuition. When it's the friend of your soul. When it's like, you ought to do this, this, and this, that's a different part of us. That's that other inner taskmaster, you know.
Well, let me ask a question, though. I always thought it was my intuition that has saved my rear end a couple of times, because one time I was driving and there were two lanes and I kept hearing, get over in the other lane, get over in the other lane. And I'm like, you know, I'm fine here. And then I got in a, you know, I was rear ended and I'm thinking, was that intuition saying, yes, get over in the other lane? And yes, I ignored it.
Argued with it.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause often it is that sort of prompt that our logical mind goes, you know, that can't be right. Right. I had a client who had been standing in a long line in the post office many years ago, and she's fine, I'll hasten to add. And standing in the line in the post office, she got, and she just kept hearing, like, go to the bathroom. And she's like, I don't need to go to the bathroom. So eventually she just lost her place in line, went to the bathroom. And it was one of those situations where there was a shooter in the, wow, in the thing. Everybody was fine and turned out okay. But, you know, she was also going like, why am I going to the bathroom? I don't need to go to the bathroom. But like, luckily enough, it was strong enough in her. And so often our intuition is just like that. It's seldom logical, but it feels like a prompt. And so the more we can enjoy that relationship in the same way as you might with a friend, you know that this friend would tell you if those pants made our butt look big, right? We need to trust that friend because we've listened to their advice over years and they've never sent us wrong. And so our intuition is that kind of relationship. And if we argue with it every time, intuition either says, it's no point whispering to you, or I've got to make it so loud. I encourage us to listen to intuition with just that curiosity and respect.
Mm. Beautiful, beautiful. Thanks for letting me kind of go down that rabbit hole, because that's where my mind went. It's like, well, that's interesting about how you described intuition. And I also thought it was that other person whispering in my ear these things that I needed to do for whatever reason. And even on those times where it's immediate types of things, that's where it's the loudest for me, which I always give plenty of gratitude to that, voice. Always thanking them when, regardless of how it turns out, whether I listened or not, I still thank them for doing it. It's important to me. I know it looks weird, guys, but I'm a big believer in thanking things, whether you know why you're thanking or not, just thank them for doing it. But now we're down to just 4 minutes here, Bev. Time flies when we get together. I want to make sure everybody knows how to get a hold of you, including your Facebook page. You have wonderful little memes up there. You have a great collection of people and things, and as well as I'm always look forward to those Facebook Lives that you do. So share with us, how can people find out more about you?
And thank you. One of my goals is to show up more often for Facebook Live, because I sure enjoy seeing other people's contributions. And so that's my offering also. My Facebook page, where you can find the lives, and if you like it, it'll give you an alert, is Bev Martin Inner Active, spelled Inner, INNERACTIVE, Bev Martin Interactive. And click on there. That's where I show up once in a while with just, you know, get a harebrained idea and think, I'd like to share this. That's a great place to find me. My website is bevmartin.com. And at the moment, all of my sessions are virtual, of course. And so it's been that way for years anyway, because I have clientele all around the world. But now I'm noticing, you know, even my local people who just live down the street, we're having to meet virtually, which is fine. It's working out. And I will have more offerings in the near future for facilitators, practitioners, and coaches on language, just because it's so powerful and so important.
Oh, absolutely. And everyone, Bev's one of those I've taken classes from and learned all about the power of language that has helped not only my professional world, but my personal world on a huge level. So I encourage you to seek out Bev Martin at bevmartin.com and check out our Facebook, Bev Martin Inner, I-N-N-E-R, Active, Interactive, all one word there. You know how Facebook is, it's all one word, Bev Martin Interactive, one word. And then be sure and join us on Facebook at Understanding Autoimmune, as well as Autoimmune Hour has a Facebook page. You can join us at both of those places, as well as you can catch the replay of this and in both video and audio over at understandingautoimmune.com. Join us next week for another brand new episode. Enjoy. In the next few moments, take a nice deep breath. Oh, and let it out with a sigh. Shake out your fingers, and your arms, and your shoulders. And keep breathing, enjoying that breath as you kind of shake it all out, let it go. Just look around a little bit right now, wherever you are. Notice what you're grateful for. Could be anything. Could even be the color of the sky today, the sweet smell of the flowers, the breeze on your face, the people you're with, the place you're at. Could be anything and everything. Take stock of all that you're grateful for that you see. Wow. Take stock of a few things maybe that you don't see right now but you're grateful for. Maybe it's somebody in your life that isn't here with you now. Some place. Whatever it is, take stock of that and add that to that grateful list that's growing. That's right. Shake everything out and just take stock of that gratitude list that we're building. That's right. Just shake it out. Shake everything out. And continue to add to that gratitude list that you're building. That's right. Wow. Quite a list. That's right. What are you grateful for about yourself? Add that to this growing gratitude list. Don't be shy. Don't be humble. Come on. Take a moment right now, starting at the top of that list. Remember, those were the things that you saw right there near you. And count them down, anchoring each one with a beautiful breath. Number one. Number two, continue on down your list of the things that are right there with you. Anchoring each one with a breath and let it out with a sigh. Allowing enough time to get through the whole list right now. Now start with the list for yourself. Begin to list those things you're grateful for about yourself and anchor each one with a nice deep breath. Just right. That's right.
even being grateful for this moment right here, right now, feeling every bit of you alive and well, feeling healing and soothing and calming energy just tingle throughout you. Getting stronger with each breath as your gratitude begins to grow. Wow, what a list. What a lucky person. Oh, that's right. Wow. Taking the last few minutes of our time together here right now, just to enjoy this growing gratitude list that grows with each moment, each minute, each hour, each day. It continues to grow. It's not just for today. Add to it tomorrow and the next day. That's right. Oh, and anchor each one with a nice deep breath. And coming right back now, alive, full of energy, happy to be here. Enjoy, that's right. And feeling grateful for every moment that you have right now. Oh, wow, welcome back. Go in gratitude and enjoy your day.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites and other media outlets is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio.